This morning we're going to turn right to our gospel reading. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Again, listening to the story of Anna, a prophetess, a prophet in her time, one that we don't often turn our minds and attention to. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, Jesus, that is. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child who to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray, that the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you, and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So indeed, historically speaking, after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph travel to the temple to observe two conventional practices: circumcision of their son and the ritual of purification. Now, at the temple, Simeon sees the child Jesus and breaks into a song of praise. And soon after, the prophet Anna also recognizes the child as the one destined to redeem Israel, Jerusalem. And she begins sharing this news with all who will listen. While Anna is one of six female prophets recognized in the New Testament, she is the only one named, described, and accepted as a female prophet. The four prophetic daughters of Philip are unnamed in Acts 21. Jezebel is relegated to self-identification as a prophet in John's cruel critique of her theological position on eating meat previously sacrificed to an idol in Revelation chapter 2. The role of women in the Gospel of Luke remains still a subject of great debate. Some view the Gospel as affirming of women in ministry, while others, in contrast, see it as reinforcing limitations. But if we set this broader discourse aside and attend to other dimensions of Anna's story, several theologically rich details emerge, particularly within the liturgical context of Christmastide. For we are in that season, the 12 days of Christmas, my friends. We're in it now. Luke describes Anna as a woman of advanced age, echoing his earlier description of Zechariah, you might remember, and also Elizabeth. The Greek, again, allows for two open interpretations of Anna, either 84 years old or having lived as a widow for 84 years. And remarkably enough, it is hard to believe the second of the two. We do have to use our imagination to stretch it that far. In either case, however, the emphasis falls on the remarkable duration of her presence and service in the temple. While the claim that she never left the temple and worshiped day and night is likely hyperbolic, it still serves to underscore her steadfast devotion. She is a woman of extraordinary faith, whose long-standing godliness and enduring hope anchor her in prophetic authority. Unlike Simeon's, Anna's words are not preserved in Luke's gospel. Instead, the text highlights her life and devotion. Her prophetic authority does not derive from a husband, a father, or even from a single prophetic utterance. Rather, it is her continual worship, prayer, fasting, testimony that affirm her role as a prophet, practices that echo those of Jesus himself. Her specific words are not necessary for us to establish her authority. The text conveys her significance through action and presence. What's also notable is while Luke uses the aorist tense to describe Simeon's action, implying a completed event, he employs the imperfect tense for Anna, suggesting ongoing habitual activity. Luke's writing suggests that she's going to be here a while. She's not going anywhere. The temple was central to worship in ancient Jerusalem, serving as a place for sacrifices, festivals, and religious gatherings. Imagine Anna's witness in a space like that, never leaving that temple and the people that come and go. Beyond worship, it served as a site for public assemblies, judicial proceedings, and even, of course, the marketplace. And she was there. Anna's witness also stands in contrast to Simeon's. Simeon blesses the child and speaks to his parent. Anna speaks to all who await salvation. Finally, this point, the juxtaposition of an infant and an elderly prophet in this scene from Luke echoes the coupling from this phrase in Psalm 148, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for God's name alone is exalted. Young and old together. From the sun and moon above to the creeping things and flying birds below, from mighty rulers and wise elders to children laughing in the street, this psalm invites all of creation to join in a chorus of praise to God who remains faithful and keeps covenant with Israel. Understandably, our tradition here of faith is not too unlike Anna's. No matter your age, you can give witness to the power of God in your life. Social sciences may tell us that this is a form of indoctrination, which, to be sure, isn't entirely false. But our work as storytellers, as truth tellers, depend a great deal on the truth we decide to tell and our devotion to the institution we exist within. My friends, for the length of my life, I've been called to tell a story of God and Jesus that resonates with the captives, that works to loose bonds, to spark hope and joy, a message that liberates, that frees us, doesn't constrain us. I think for all of us, that's a message worthy to spread, to grab a megaphone, shout it on the streets, from the mountaintops. What are the words that you want to scream when you sing the phrase, "Go tell it on the mountain"? What's your testimony? What do you think Anna's was for 80 some odd years? Age is just a number. Young and old are called to give praise. Today, tomorrow, what's your praise? Spread that message. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.